Hey, it's good to see everybody. We're going to get into our weekly devotional today, and we're going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about our attitude in prayer. We're going to talk about how we're to come to God in prayer, and we're going to talk about kind of what prayer is about. So if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. It says this: ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks him for a loaf of bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. So, Jesus is teaching us about prayer and how it is important to pray. And one thing that we can definitely say about Jesus as we read through the gospel accounts of his earthly ministry is that Jesus prayed. He was constantly in prayer. And what does it mean to pray? It means to talk to God. It means to listen to God. It means to commune with God. And all of us as Christians are supposed to pray. I will be the first to admit before you and before anybody else listening to this message that I struggle with prayer in my own life, and I'm going to be willing to admit that most of us do. We live in a world that's full of commotion and distractions 24/7, and it's very hard to find time to get alone and to be quiet with God and to pray to God. But it is a very important part of our relationship with him, and we are to seek times of prayer. Prayer is a very powerful tool that we have as his children to have his ear. And so what he does in this passage is he kind of teaches us what it is to pray. Now, some of the things that we need to remember is that prayer, when I'm praying, I pray to God. I'm not praying to God and trying to change God's mind or to change God. See, God already has all of life planned out. And so my prayers are about me yielding to his will for my life, me proclaiming the things of his kingdom and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For me to pray to him and say, okay, God, help me to see your point of view. Help me to understand what it is that I'm supposed to do. Help me to have the strength to walk with you and help me in my life. And so prayer is our way of coming to our Father expressing to him our needs and expressing to him our realization that he is the one that can provide them. And it's a time of adoration and confession and thanksgiving and supplication, right? That's the old ACTS, acronym, A-C-T-S, ACTS. And it helps us to remember that we ask, we confess, we give thanks, and we supplicate, right? Or adoration is the A. Adoration means to recognize that he is God and he is holy. C stands for confession, to confess our sins before him. T is thanksgiving, to recognize that he forgives us of our sins and thankful for all the things he's done in our life. And then S would be supplication, which means to plead with him for the things that we need in our lives. And another thing, so that's kind of helps us to understand what prayer is, but we also need to understand something about prayer, and that God always, let me say this again, God always answers our prayers. God always answers our prayers. And what do I mean by that? Well, he can answer our prayers in three different ways. If I pray to God and ask Him for something, God can say yes and answer that prayer. God can say no and deny that request, or God can say wait. And of course, it's a lot easier to deal with yeses and nos. Well, actually, it's way easier to deal with yeses than it is nos. But that waiting thing is terrible, isn't it? To pray to God and ask Him for something, and you know, you might have to wait most of your life for Him to answer that prayer. But God answers our prayers in the way that we need them answered, not just in the way that we want them answered. And so when you pray to Him, understand as you pray to Him that He can answer your prayers in three ways. Yes, and He can answer that prayer in the affirmative. No, but He can deny us that request, or wait. And again, what are we supposed to do? We are to continue coming to Him with those prayer requests, and we are to continue to ask Him to reveal to us His will for our lives, and we are to mold and to make our prayers in such a way as they are pleasing to Him and fitting to His will for our lives. And so if He says no, then maybe we just need to change our prayer instead of trying to change God. Because His will is settled in heaven through eternity, and we need to pray in such a way that our lives are molded to His will and not ours. He teaches us just in the passage before the one we've read here in Matthew chapter 6, He teaches us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, holy is Your name, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For it's Your kingdom, Your power, and Your glory forever. Amen." And so He gives us this structure for our prayer life and how we're supposed to pray. And now in the passage we're reading today, He's showing us the attitude that we are to come to Him in prayer. And so what did He do? Just like we used that ACTS acronym a minute ago, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Well, this is really an acronym here too as well, because how do you spell ask? Well, you spell it A-S-K. And what is Jesus going to teach us to do here? A, ask, S, seek, and K, knock. He's given us an acronym in order. Well, actually, he's given us the foundations of how our prayers should fall out. And this little useful acronym can help me to remember how I'm to approach Him in my prayer life. I ask, I seek, and I knock. And again, when we ask, remember, His answer can be yes, or no, or wait. And so He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. So what are we doing? We ask, we seek. Again, so I can ask, but remember, God is not like a genie up there in heaven. I'm not praying Him as if I'm rubbing the lamp to get Him to pop out and give me what I want. I'm asking Him, recognizing that He's the one that can supply my need. Seek and you will find. I have to search out these things. Knock and it will be open to you, right? Think about it. You go to your neighbor's house, right? And what do? You need some sugar. You knock on the door. And what do? They come and they answer the door. And what do? You ask. But and if they have the sugar and they're a good neighbor, they'll loan you some sugar. But you can't just sit in your house and go, you know what? I sure could use some sugar. You know, if you don't do anything about it, you're not going to have any. What do you have to do? You have to go and you have to ask and you have to knock and seek. You have to, there's something that you do in order for that request, that desire to be fulfilled. And so He's using this simple acronym, ask, seek, and knock, as a way to help us to understand what our attitude should be as we approach Him in prayer. And what does He say? Everyone who asks receives. Right? Everyone who asks receives. What does He tell us in Philippians? He says, "My God will supply all of your needs according to His riches in heaven in Christ Jesus." God always provides for us the things that we need. The one that seeks will find, and to him who knocks, it will be open. And so what he's going to do now is he's going to give us this little illustration to help us to understand how God answered our prayers. Look what he says. He said, "What man is there among you when his son asks for a loaf, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he?" Think about that. Now, I think it's a very good illustration, because look what he's saying. He's saying if a young man, if a boy, a son comes up to his father, right? So this parable, how will we apply it? We would be the child coming to our father seeking something. He said, how many of you, if your son came up to you and asked you for a piece of bread, would you give him a brick and say, "Here, go eat this"? Of course not. If your child came to you and asked for a piece of bread, you would do whatever in your power to provide that son with that piece of bread that he needed. If he was truly hungry and needed a piece of bread and came to you as his father and asked you for that bread, you would go out of your way to provide that bread for him. Now, you wouldn't give him a brick and say, "Here, go eat that." Right? There's no nutrition in a brick. It'll break your teeth. It ain't going to do you any good. Even if you could get it down, you'd have to go and have that brick removed out of your stomach because you couldn't digest it. It's unhealthy. It wouldn't be any good for you. Break your teeth, mess up your digestive tract. And a dad wouldn't do that. A dad wouldn't say, "Here, go eat this brick." A father would provide for his child. And that's what Jesus is trying to point out to us there. So if I come to God, right, what did he say? We pray to our Heavenly Father and say, "Give us this day our daily bread." So if I come to him and I ask him for this bread, he's not going to throw a brick at me and say, "Here, just go be satisfied with that." He's going to provide for me what I need. Now, it's very important also for us to see this. It said, "What son if he comes to his father?" You see, in order to pray to God and have a relationship with God, I truly have to be his child. And that comes through salvation, and that comes through adoption into the family of God. I have to be his child in order to be able to have the right and the ability and the privilege to come to him and ask for things. If you're out there today and you're not a believer, the only prayer that you can pray that he hears is a prayer of repentance and turning to him in need. So we need to recognize that we have to have a relationship. I have to be able to call him Father. I have to be a born-again, blood-bought, regenerated child of God. I have to be in the kingdom of God. I have to be a member of his true church. I have to be a child of God in order to have the right and the privilege to come to him as my Father and ask him for my daily bread. And, of course, what father is not going to take care of his child in that way? And then he even overemphasized it by saying, or if your son comes and asks you for a piece of fish, are you going to give him a snake and say, "Here, go eat this"? You know, or basically he would be saying, like a viper. Would your father, you come to him and ask him for a piece of fish, is he going to give you a serpent that could hurt you? Like, is he going to give you something that's going to hurt you? Of course not. And look what it says. If you then, being evil, know how to do good things for your children. So what's he saying? We as human beings are all sinners. We're all fallen. And even when it comes to our relationship with our kids or with our own biological children, we still have flawed relationships, and we can still be selfish even when it comes to our relationship with our own children. He said, you being evil, you being wicked, fallen human beings, you being fallen creatures with hearts full of sin, you being evil, you know how to do good things for your children. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who what? Ask him. Ask him. Those who ask him. And so what is the encouragement for us today? God hears his children's prayers. And that we can come to him in an attitude of adoration and confession and thanksgiving and supplication. We can come to him asking him for the things that we need, and we can be more than sure that he is willing to answer those prayers for us. And so I want to encourage each of you in your struggles and what you're going through in your life right now, pray. As long as you know him as your Heavenly Father, as long as you are a born-again child of God, you recognize that Christ Jesus died on the cross to save you, and that you have been saved, you have been born again, you are His child, you have a personal relationship with Him, and you have the right and the privilege as His child to come to Him in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to ask and to seek and to knock. Please do that. Please do that today. Please use the time that you have on your hands to pray and establish your relationship with your Heavenly Father. So thank y'all for your time today, and I do want to encourage you to continue to pray for me as I pray for you, and pray for others, and use the privilege of prayer to grow in your relationship with God, our Creator, and our Heavenly Father. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege and the joy of prayer, and the great opportunity we have to spend time with you. Forgive us for our lack of willingness to do that. And Lord, I do pray that you will answer our prayers so that we can be more certain that you are our Father who provides all of our needs. Help us to know how to pray. Help us to know what to pray. And help us to ask and to seek and to knock. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.